And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome into RBLR Bucks, your go-to source for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. Folks, it may be May, but the football gods have spoken. The 2025 NFL schedule is here, and we are fired up to break it all down for you. But before we dive into the matchups, the revenge games, you know, the primetime lights, quick shout out to the rest of the RBLR podcast squad, you know, holding it down for our beloved Tampa Bay teams. But today, it's all about the Peter and Red. The matchups are set, the dates are circled, and we know you're feeling some type of way about it as well. So please do drop your comments below. Tell us how you really feel. Home stretch, trap games, flex-worthy matchups, let it fly. And now, joining me, as always, is the very own dynamic duo of Tampa Bay. Think, David Walker and Elijah Roberts, but behind the mic. So, first up, the pass rusher of takes, a relentless force on the mic, Mr. Zach Blaine is back in the building. Zach, how are you, man? And we got Hazel in the house.
We are doing fantastic. You want to say hi? Okay, we are doing good. She wants to be on camera, but doesn't want to be on camera. So,
me on my camera. Me on my camera. Me on my camera.
No, we're doing good, brother. How are you doing, Sam?
So far, so good, man. Just another week closer, to the start of the season. That's all I really can say right now. I mean, I guess some things have kind of started. There's a little bit going on, at least, newsworthy stuff and all that. But, on top of that, there's still some sports going around all around Tampa. I mean, we even got the NBA Finals going on right now. So, just staying busy with sports, that's just what I do. But you already know we got the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio, bringing the speed off the edge, the breakdown specialist, the smooth route runner of hot Bucks talk, Mr. Carter Brantley, what's the good word, my friend?
Oh, man, this intro, man. I'm feeling this intro, man. That was fantastic. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk some Bucks football. Obviously, this is kind of the big week, if you will, for the offseason schedule release. I mean, it's the big week for May, at least, now that the draft is done and all that. But, the Bucks schedule has been released. The NFL schedules have been released. All the silly videos and the memes and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. The Chargers had the Minecraft thing that was really fun. There's a bit of controversy with I think it was the Colts, right? And Tyreek Hill, right? Yeah, that was something else. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Bucks schedule because, all the other stuff that's for, we won't just go in like team by team. We're going to take more of an upper level approach to it because, it'd be boring if you want to look up the schedule, you can find it on your own and read it. We won't read it along, but, I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts, get your takes on it. And we'll start with sort of from a fun perspective. Who's the best team y'all think the Bucks play? Because there are some good ones, but there's also kind of a lot of questionable teams, not necessarily bad ones, but just teams that could really go either way. So who's the best team that you think the Bucks play this year, Musab? I'll start with you, man.
I gotta go Bills on this one. If not the Eagles, I just feel like, wherever the Bills think they're playing us. Yeah, I mean, it's after the bye week. It's kind of, that second half, it's going to be a real test. And especially, going all the way from, New England. And then, we're playing at home, but then going all the way to Buffalo. Then on top of that, having a Rams game after that, that's going to be an interesting stretch right there. But I'm going to have to go Bills. Eagles is a close second.
Yeah, the Bills are great, and especially because they get to play the Eagles at home and they have to play the Bills on the road. I do think that that's a very, a genuine factor that plays into it. The Lions are also, really stinking good, and they have to go to Detroit for that too. Although, they beat the Lions in Detroit last year, and they beat the Eagles at home last year, or at Raymond James last year. So, you know, as much as both of those matchups are difficult and can definitely pose some problems for the Bucks, they took care of business last year. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But Mr. Blaine, do you have a wild card pick for this, or are you kind of sticking to one of those three teams? Who's the best?
I mean, I think one of those three have got to be up there. And then you got to also include like San Francisco.
Yeah, they're very good.
They come back healthy. That could be a scary team, especially, I mean, at week six, you would think that most of that team will be healthy.
Right.
Not many games to get injured before then, knock on wood.
Wood indeed.
Yeah. And then I think a sneaky hard game for us, or one of the sneaky better teams, is the Rams game. People sleep on the Rams a lot. They weren't great last year, but that was the first year in a while they hadn't been a pretty solid team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it's a Sean McVay coach team. They've still got Stafford. They brought in Devontae Adams to replace Cooper Kupp. They're still
stud. Kyren Williams is really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They got a lot of weapons.
Yeah. It's still very much a scary football team to deal with. And some people were kind of anticipating maybe that they would spend some draft capital to try to pick Stafford's successor, and they didn't really do that. They still invested in the current team. They're still sort of in, you know, in win now mode. So they're definitely a team that could be very sneaky good, especially going out there to LA, you know, different time zone. For now, it's a Sunday night football matchup. You know, I know that they sometimes flex those, they sometimes get out of those, so that could change. But for now, week 12, they're in LA, and it's going to be coming off that Bills road game, you know, so that previous week they play the Bills on the road and then they go to the Rams in week 12. So that could be a pretty difficult stretch, honestly. But on the flip side of this coin, the best team that the Bucks play, who do y'all think the worst team that the Bucks play? Because, you know, it's fun to talk about the good teams, but it's also just fun to talk about the really awful teams too. So Zach, I'll throw this question at you first, man. Who do you think the worst team that the Bucks play is?
I mean, you got to look at the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, probably just the Saints or the Jets.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals, I'm not high on the Cardinals. I know some people are pretty high on them. We'll see, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But now, right off rip, I'm going to go away from the Saints. I'm going to say the Jets.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I think I'd have to go Jets as well. The Saints are definitely a very close second. Depending on how Justin Fields plays to start the season, those could vary. You know, we could definitely change that answer. I'll probably go Jets as well. Mustafa, do you have any honorable mentions or any teams that you're looking at that you're thinking, ooh, man, they could be really bad too?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, if not the Jets or the Saints, because I was gonna go Jets.
We're unanimous, all three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm definitely Jets, and then yeah, we'll go Saints. But ooh, man. Other than that, though, I mean,
by week 17, it could be a Zach Wilson-led Dolphins team.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, Mr. Blaine. Yeah, I was gonna say depending on Tua, because.
You know. At this rate, I'm banking on it being a Zach Wilson-led Dolphins team.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, that would be nice just because, yeah, we're going back-to-back with the Panthers, and that ought to be interesting as well. So, yeah, I guess I'll give it to the Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's a Zach Wilson-led Dolphins team, and who knows what happens with all the Tyreek Hill stuff, there's a lot of weird stuff that could kind of pop up for the Dolphins, especially by week 17. Who knows if they're even playing for a playoff spot at that point. So there's a lot of weirdness that could happen there. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. But getting back to sort of the better end of the spectrum in terms of the strength of schedule, is there a stretch of weeks specifically that maybe concerns you? Mustafa, we'll start with you, man. What period of this schedule do you look at and you think, ooh, man, that could be some tough games?
Oh, man, I'll probably say, yeah, week 4 to 7. You know, you get a little bit warmed up with the Falcons, Texans, and the Jets. And from there on out, yeah, I mean, going against Super Bowl champs, Seahawks, I think, you know, they look good overall to me. I mean, I can see them, you know, succeeding as far as they want to, really. And the San Fran and the Lions, that ought to be a fun back-to-back kind of battle just because, I don't know. I mean, you know, we've made a lot of changes as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't underestimate any of these teams. And I mean, these ones have already proven, you know, to us that, you know, how good they are. So yeah, give me weeks 4-7.
Yeah. I think I'm right there with you. Because you know, that Eagles game is going to be tough. And then, like you mentioned, the Seahawks, obviously they're in a different place with Sam Darnold, but they're still a very good team. They're still well coached. I think that they've done a lot of interesting things in this offseason.
Awful O-line.
They've definitely got a lot of work to do there, but they did address it in the first round. They went interior offensive line, a smaller school. So, Zach, I know you're not a huge fan of that.
I love it so much. Such a great pick.
But regardless, you know, they at least tried to address it. So we'll see how it plays out. Sam Darnold, not exactly known for his mobility. Lamar Jackson, you will not be confused with Sam Darnold anytime soon. But, Zach, how about you, man? Do you have any different stretch of the schedule that you think, oh, the Bucs could struggle here?
Week 7 to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 to 12.
Okay.
So the Niners, the Lions, the Patriots, I think, are going to be a much better team this year.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
The Patriots, the Bills, the Rams. Those are – I think that's the hardest group of games. Luckily, we have the bye week in there, which kind of eases up a little bit. But just those games in general, and then you're playing a division game on top of that. So I think that that's a pretty rough schedule, a pretty rough stretch, especially considering you got at Lions, at Bills, at Rams, at Saints, all in that group of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not an easy one. Because, you know, the Saints are bad, but it's a division game. You know, those are always going to be tough, and it's on the road. The Superdome can be a difficult place to play, even if it's against an untalented Saints team, because they weren't very good last year, and the Bucs still managed to make things interesting. So that could definitely be a sneaky game. And the Patriots game definitely feels like a trap game. You know, coming off a bye week, you've got the Bills and the Rams coming up. The Bucs could very well be, you know, obviously it's not intentional or anything, but they could very well catch themselves looking ahead and, you know, sort of lose focus on the fact that, hey, Patriots are still kind of good. Like, they've still got some really young talent on that team. They've got a new coach. They could be a really interesting team this year. So, yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. So, yeah, there's definitely some really interesting teams to look out for on this schedule. Even the Cardinals, I know you were poo-pooing on them, Zach, and rightfully so. They were really bad last year, and there's not a whole lot of talent there. But, man, if the things swing right, you know, if enough things go your way, if the Cardinals could be kind of fun. You know, Kyler Murray's still talented, just, you know, is he good?
Still got it.
Right.
Call of Duty.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Like, the talent is there. Is he actually good? Like, it's that whole money ball thing. Like, oh, well, he's a good hitter. He's got a good swing. Well, then why doesn't he hit like it? Well, he's a talented quarterback. Well, why didn't he play like it? You know, so it's frustrating.
I have to say, guys, honorable mention, just because it's the NFC South, the weeks 14 to 18, we got Saints, Falcons, Panthers, and we got Zach Wilson and the Dolphins, and then we got Panthers again. So
yeah, the whole
because game. It's the NFC South, and just because of how weird things are, I could see something weird happen.
That could very well be the battle of the NFC South right there, like, for the league.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Panthers do good all the way through the season, and we're two games apart at the last four games. Then we got to play them twice in those two games.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the only part of the schedule I'm not happy with is having those division games the last 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't like it either. I really wish it was more spread out. At the same time, I get where the NFL is coming from. They're trying to make those end of the year games matter, but it's kind of coming at the cost of a more balanced schedule.
We lead the season off with the Falcons.
Right.
And then we get right into a division game. I'm like, that's cool. I would like to have a couple tune-up games before we go right into division play.
Right.
You don't need a tune-up for the Falcons.
Michael Penix might be a Hall of Famer one day. Who knows? Like, we've not seen a full season from him yet, and this is a full training camp of him as the starting quarterback.
But then again, the Falcons won't be tuned up either. You know,
that's fair. That's a solid
for all of us.
Yeah, it is the even weirder thing with the NFL schedules now is that, you know, with the shortened preseason, that week one can almost turn into another preseason game, unfortunately, but it just counts. And it's kind of frustrating because, you know, teams just don't have as much time to get settled, get comfortable with their playbooks and all that stuff. So it can be a bit weird. That week one matchup, I think you just kind of wash your hands of it regardless of the result. If they blow out the Falcons, great, but I'm not going to, you know, say, oh, the Bucs are going undefeated. And if they get blown out or if they lose, it's not a big deal. Because week one, it's just such a weird time for everyone. You know, it's just getting used to things. But if you're looking for a really solid option for your wardrobe in week one for this upcoming season, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great gear, so you can pull up to your week one watch party when the season eventually does start. I know it's way out in the horizon, but you can pull up with some fire Tampa Bay gear. We've got it all for you, and we'll give you a promo code Cannon, CANNONS. Give that to celebrate the schedule release week, you know, and get type that in and get 10% off your entire order. Definitely check that out. So the second half of the episode, we're still talking schedule. We'll start it off. How do we feel about the placement of the bye week? Because that's kind of interesting. Every year, I always find it interesting how teams, you know, get maybe a bit more of an advantageous bye week, or maybe they kind of get screwed, for lack of a better term, through their early bye week or having it super late. I thought this was a pretty good placement for their bye week. Week 9 is when it is. And that's a pretty solid kind of right in the middle. But Mr. Tariq, how are you feeling about it? Are you happy, unhappy, kind of shrug your shoulders, who cares? What are your thoughts on the bye week placement for the Bucs?
I mean, I've always been a kind of, you know, shrugging who cares, but I mean, I'm fine with this though. I mean, cause you know, obviously, yeah, it was week 5 last year. So obviously that was a little weird, but I mean, this one, it's right in the middle. I can't complain. I mean, I like where it is. And, I'm glad, you know, we faced the true adversity. Even afterwards we got the Bills and the Rams, but it's nice to kind of, you know, make those mistakes in the first half, and then second half, you know, kind of just focus on, I'll probably say the division games, just because, Pats could be a trap game, but other than that, you just focus on the Bills and the Rams, and we'll see what else goes on. I don't know. It could be a weird second half as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting how over the past two seasons, really, the Bucs have kind of had this like starting out really strong, and then the middle is really awful, and then they end on a really strong note. And I hate to say it, but it's probably going to happen again this year too. Like, that's just sort of how the schedule has played out. Like, they have this sort of weakish start to the season in terms of strength of schedule, like the Falcons, the Texans, the Jets. Those are kind of middling teams. And then the middle is like, oh goodness, this could get rough. And then you finish with Cardinals, Saints, Falcons, Panthers, and Dolphins. And it's like, oh, so they could go on a run. And it's just, it can be a bit frustrating, but that bye week is very nice because then at least, you know, you get a little week to collect yourselves. Like, you had to face the Eagles and the Niners and the Lions. So then you can collect yourself and try not to go 0-3 against the Patriots, Bills, and Rams. So it's definitely a nice placement. But like you said, kind of shrug your shoulders. Everyone gets a bye week. It's not that big of a deal. It's kind of like lineup construction in baseball. It's like, you can maybe lose a game or two, but it doesn't really matter that much. But Zach, how about you, man? Maybe you have stronger thoughts on the bye week than myself and Usab.
I only have a stronger opinion on it when it affects us. Like, if we make a deep playoff run and we had a bye week in week 3, I'm going to be like, this is why we lost the bye week, or this is why we lost in the playoffs, because we had a bye week in week 5. At week 9, I feel like it's almost dead center. Mm-hmm. So I personally love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But I love it at week 9. I think that it gives us time to heal up after some hard games to go right into some more hard games, but then our easy part of the schedule.
Yeah, you're good.
Our easy part of the schedule is at the end of the season, which is nice. Yeah.
No, I feel you. That is nice to sort of finish out and maybe take some good momentum into the playoffs. So I do feel you. That's kind of a nice quirk of the schedule, but week 9, right in the middle, like you said, it's definitely an ideal situation. But focusing more on the individual teams themselves, because, you know, there are a lot of really good teams that the Bucks get to play this year. They always get the first place schedules because they were in first place in the NFC South last year. So who's going to be y'all's favorite team to watch? Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. Who are you really excited to watch the Bucks play, even just as a football fan, not necessarily from the Bucks fan perspective? Oh, Mr. Tariq.
Oh, we saw. Sorry about that. I think I lost you for a second. Could you repeat that question again?
Yeah, you're good.
Just froze for a second. Sorry, I was.
No, you're good. You're good. I know Wi-Fi's been screwing up for me today too. I was just asking about who your favorite team is going to be to watch this week or this year for the Bucks, just from a football fan perspective.
Other than the Bucks, I'd probably say I just go Eagles. I got some family friends who are also big Eagles fans. I mean, I like what they've done, even during the draft, what they did. So. Just curious to see, you know, how if they run it back. But yeah, man, that's about it, though.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the defending Super Bowl champs, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's definitely a pretty slam dunk pick for a fun watch. I'm going to go Bills just to kind of be different. I'm excited to watch the Eagles, too. Like, they're a really fun team to watch. But Josh Allen, you know, I mean, my goodness, he's one of the most electrifying players in football. I'm going to go Bills, but super stoked that the Bucks get a home game versus the Eagles, because, you know, fingers crossed, maybe I'll be able to watch it. That'd be great. I'm excited for that Eagles game as well. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who's you and Hazel's favorite matchup for the Bucks, like, just to watch as football fans? Because I know Hazel is just
gearing up. Can you say Lions? Yeah, now you want to be shy. For me, it's the Lions. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I love everything. That team is young. I think the Eagles are another great answer because they're such a young team with, like, these just random vets built into it. I think that I'm going with the Lions because of, like, my preference in players.
Sure.
But the Eagles are a great answer as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Lions, they were super talented last year too. I mean, man, that loss to the Commanders was kind of gut-wrenching. They kind of got blown out of the water, which was surprising. But, you know, things happen, and they're still an incredible team. Like you said, uber talented. Aiden Hutchinson's going to be back. Hopefully he's coming back full strength. I know that the videos that have been twirling around have not been super encouraging, but at the same time, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not, you know, I think we can, you know, got to see him on the field, you know, got to see him how he does on the field. But who's could be a sneaky, tough matchup, focusing, you know, continuing our theme with focusing on the individual teams. Cause there are some teams on this list that you look at and you think, they're kind of a mid team, like, the Bucks, it's kind of a coin flip, but it could be kind of a hard matchup for me. I think my eyes go directly to the Patriots. I know, Zach, we kind of mentioned it earlier, just because Drake May, I'm a big believer in Drake May. I think he could be a really, really good quarterback. You know, especially now that he's got a little bit of help around him. Obviously, they swung big for some free agents. They didn't necessarily pan out. I know they were a team connected to Chris Godwin, and they did not, obviously, they did not sign him. But they made some interesting investments. They made some interesting signings in the offseason. So the Patriots are kind of my sneaky, tough matchup. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who's a team that you look at and you think, ooh, that could be a tough matchup for the Bucks?
I touched on it earlier, and I'm going to stick with it. I think that the Rams are going to be a sneaky matchup. I don't know how sneaky it really is because they're a playoff team last year. So, like,
sure.
But I feel like everyone always sleeps on the Rams, rightfully so. They're kind of boring.
Yeah.
But you've got some solid weapons. You picked up Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams. Like, they're all good players. I think that could be a bad game for us if it doesn't go well. Like, there's so many things that could go wrong to make it a really bad game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's an explosive offense, and their defense is also very good. You know, they had two defensive rookie of the year candidates last year. Christopher Cole says Jets is going to be a trap game. Wow, that's interesting. Musab, what are your thoughts on that, man? Jets being a trap
game. And it'd be embarrassing if that's a trap game. That's just I don't even want to call that a trap game. I just want to call that an absolute shit show by the Buccaneers. Those kind of days where you post that little bag over your head that says it's a Buck life. But hey, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, dude. Who knows? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Fields and the boys start cooking up our defense.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, he's running down the field and he's hurtling over Tyreek Funderburk, you know. So, oh, man. Hey, man.
Listen, it's any given Sunday. Tampa's not playing against mobile quarterbacks.
That's true. That's true.
What is that?
Quick on the their linebacker corner, relatively slow. So, look, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't have faith in Justin Fields. Last time we played Justin Fields, asked the Bears how that went. I'm not stressing Justin Fields at all, but that is the one thing that I'm a little worried about as a mobile quarterback against Tampa.
Yeah. The thing is with the mobile quarterback discussion is they have struggled mightily against mobile quarterbacks like Lamar, Jaden Daniels tore them up last year. But Lamar and Jaden Daniels also tore up the rest of the NFL too. So it can be tough to separate those two things, but you know, like you said, Levante David and Antoine Walker or Anthony Walker,
Anthony Walker.
Yeah, those are not exactly, you know, they're not Raekwon Smith out there. They aren't, or Roquan Smith out there. They're not, you know, they're not flying around the field. So it's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough. But it's also Justin Fields. It's also the Jets. Hopefully it's not a trap game, but yeah, that's definitely a good point that you don't want to still the NFL, you know, those guys get paid too. I don't know. The Jets could be, I don't know. I don't want to say they could be good, but they could be better than I think we're expecting, but a lot of things have to go right. And I don't expect them to go right. So, I'm not in disagreement for sure. I don't know. Musab, did you give us our,
I just want to touch up a little bit on the Panthers. Going Panthers week 16, then we got Dolphins and then boom, Panthers again. I mean, I got high hopes for the Panthers. I feel like, if they've already been kind of cooking up things, I've seen some, you know, a lot of improvement in Bryce Young. So, now they got Tep Mac, and I mean, who knows what they'll be able to do. But the fact that I just find that just so weird. You know, we go Panthers, Dolphins, Panthers again. It's just like, but
yeah, that's why. It seems like the NFL has been doing that the past few years with teams and their division matchups. Because didn't they do that? Wasn't the Saints the Panthers last year?
We've done that before. Yeah, with them.
Right.
We played the Falcons last year.
I think it was that. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right. That's right. But yeah, they've been doing this weird crowding of all the divisional matchups at the end of the year for the past few years now.
And I get it in a sense because you've got it makes it more watchable. Like, have to watch the last 4 weeks of the season. So, like, from a marketing standpoint, I understand it, but it's annoying to me as a fan. Like,
no.
I get where you're coming from, but maybe we don't do it.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's definitely it's one of those things. They're attempting to avoid, like, oh man, like over a decade ago, back when I was still sort of a Saints fan, I went to a Saints Panthers game.
Sorry.
No, I feel you. It was back when Cam was on the Panthers and Derek Anderson was his backup. And it was like a week 17 matchup between the Saints and the Panthers. Both were eliminated from the playoffs. And good gracious, just what a slog, you know, like what a, just a boring game to watch. So I get it. Like, you don't want to have those games that are just meaningless, but at the same time, like, you know, if things go poorly, like the Bucks and Panthers could be playing for nothing anyways. So it's like games like that happen anyways, you know, regardless of whether it happens in week 18 or week 7. So I don't know. I sort of see both sides to it, but yeah, I'm
just feel reason. Like if you told me that by week 13 or 14 that the division was won or lost, and then you gave me games, let's say Tampa lost the division, right? But you give me four games against, like, Pittsburgh and some other, like, Green Bay, like, some old-school Battle of the Bays or some old-school, like, rivalries, I would want to watch that more than just watching the NFC South get decided. Like,
I feel you.
The NFC South getting decided in Week 17. At that point, if that's the case, then we got to go all the way to there. The Bucks probably aren't very much fun to watch anyway. So,
yeah, no, that's a good point. Musab, do you have any thoughts on the divisional matchups being so crowded at the end of the season?
I guess there's a reason for it. I mean, yeah. I get it. You know, I mean, being that it's the NFC South, I feel like it could be kind of feisty or kind of spicy. If this was another division, I feel like it really wouldn't mean much. But
right, yeah.
I don't know. It could be an interesting battle.
Yeah, I mean, there are
mountain of NFC South.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there are those other divisions where, like, you know, who the heck cares about the Colts and the Texans? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, there are some depressing matchups. But at the same time, like, Eagles-Giants is always going to be intense. Eagles-Cowboys is always going to be intense. Even if there aren't necessarily stakes at play, or, like, even if there aren't any big stakes, like, that's still kind of a big rivalry. So I do sort of understand it from that perspective. But like Zach said, I don't really dig it. I'm not a huge fan of it. But we're nearing the end of our episode. But before we go, I did want to have just sort of a fun, like, record guess. Because, you know, the schedules come out. We see who the Bucks are playing way too early. But screw it. You know, we need off-season content. Musav, what do you think the Bucks' final record's going to be?
Ooh, man, this one's tough. Oh, man, I should have known this was coming. Oh, man, I'm going to have to go... I'm going to go 11-6.
11-6. I like it. Yep. Yeah. All right. Six. Zach, how about you? How far off the pasture are you for this one?
I go back and forth, boys. I try to be negative because, like, I want to be realistic. The floor of this team is 12 wins, in my opinion. I know. Like,
okay. I like it.
The floor for this team is 12 wins. I feel dumb even saying it, boys. I fully could see us going 14-3. Like,
whoa.
Wow. I love it. Wow. Captain Optimism. Okay, so, Zach Wayne.
It hurts my heart a little bit.
So who are the three losses?
That's Buffalo, a good question.
Buffalo.
Right.
I'm going to go Buffalo, New York, and then one of the Panthers games. Or not New York. I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, hold up.
The Eagles were right underneath the Jets. Philadelphia won Panthers game, and the Bills.
Damn, wow. Man. So you think we're being an – oh, wow. So you
I
think
–
oh, wow.
Look, that's why I said the floor is 12, because the Bills – or the Lions game, I'm a little worried about. The 49ers. Yeah, so, like, that right there puts us at, what, 12-5.
Yep.
I think we could win 12 games.
Here's the thing, Zach. If they win 12 games, you understand Todd Bowles ain't getting fired anytime soon.
Look, I've already grown to just – I've live and let live, brother.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm going to bitch about it at the end of every season because there's going to be some dumb shit he does. I know it's going to happen. I don't doubt it. It's going to happen. And I'm going to disagree with it, and we're going to get on this show, and I'm going to go, he's the dumbest coach to ever live. And then he's going to take us to the playoffs, and then we're going to win a playoff game, and everyone's going to go, oh, well, we can't really fire him now. So I've come to realize I'm just in an endless loop of Todd Bowles as a coach of the Buccaneers.
I think we all are, man. It's kind of like a roller coaster.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the Todd Bowles experience. You know, they're going to go 3-1 to start the season, and then they're going to have like a 2-7 stretch.
But they're not snowballing.
Or a 2-5 stretch or whatever, and then they're going to finish the season undefeated, and then they'll go 12-5 or 11-6 or whatever.
Is that your prediction then?
11-6 is my prediction. Yeah, I'm with Musab. There are enough. Like they'll win some games that we don't expect them to. They'll lose some games that we don't expect them to. It'll kind of even out, and I think that there are 11 winnable games and 6, you know, losable games on the schedule.
So you're thinking it'll be more of a, like, regress to the median kind of a deal. Like, you'll have a really good start or a really bad start, but then the good the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good comparison, but, like, they always say you're going to lose a third of your games and you're going to win a third of your games. And then it's that final third that you decide your season on in baseball, at least. And in football, I feel like it's not quite that extreme, but there's certainly some of that at play. Like there are some games that you're just kind of luck, whatever you want to call it, injuries, whatever. Like you're going to lose some games, you know, not everyone's the Dolphins from that one season. They went undefeated. I can't remember the year, but yeah, like it's just going to happen. Like there are just going to be some ugly losses that just pop up here and there. But there are also going to be some beautiful wins. So I'm pretty excited for this season. I don't know if I'm 14-3 excited. That's remarkable. Christopher Cole says if they stay healthy, they win 12-14 games. I'm with you. I think if they avoid major injuries. Like if Mike Evans, Chris Godwin are healthy the whole season, yeah, they could win 12 games pretty
easily. We've got 97 receivers on the roster. One of them can go down. We'll be okay.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's kind of why the
Chris, you and I are on the exact same page because I full on – like that's why I said 12 is the floor. I think 12 is my realistic answer.
Okay.
But, like, doable, I legitimately – I just – I something tells me this could be a magical season in Tampa, boys.
Wow.
Wow. So you gave their draft a C – what was it, a C minus or a C?
We brought everyone back from a playoff team, and that's what you guys said is all we needed to do.
The boys are back in town.
It's more so the schedule. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not the team. More
schedule,
so,
and I mean, we actually did focus on the DBs and our defense. So
you brought in
fingers crossed.
Who I think could play day one if they had to.
Yeah,
and be good.
I'm not disagreeing at all. I'm surprised by this level of optimism from you, Zach.
I'm so confused. I don't know. Like, my heart is doing stuff that I don't know it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's like there's like love in there right now.
Man, did you start going
you
to
for a, yeah, man? You go for a long hike in the Smokies or something? Well, found yourself.
I've found something. I don't know what it is, but it's changed me. I'm a changed man, boys.
Wow, fair enough, man. Fair enough. I dig it.
Until we lose the first game, and then it's all downhill.
Then they're going 0-17. Then they're going 0-17.
Yep. This is the worst team we've ever brought together. Like,
yep. Got the fire Todd Bowles, the pitchforks will be out, and all that stuff.
I'll be the first one there in line.
For sure. But hopefully that doesn't happen, and hopefully y'all stick around and hit that like and subscribe button if you want to check us out, and give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We've got some really great content. If you want to hear more of Zach's negativity or positivity, seemingly new, or me and Musab just shooting shit, whatever.
Riding a wave.
That's right. Zach put on his hat. I can't tell what.
It was backwards.
It was backwards. I'm sorry. He's flipped
it's
around.
It's my UT hat, boys.
Oh, it's his UT hat. Okay. Oh, he's getting serious now. But anyways, thank y'all for tuning in. Really appreciate y'all. We'll definitely be back next week, and we'll be, talking some more Bucks football. So definitely stay tuned for that. We really appreciate y'all. And thank you to my co-host as well for making my job remarkably easy. But until next time, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.